NFT.
NFT.
NFTs.
NFTs.
Non-fungible tokens, or NFTs, are exploding in popularity.
This is Zen Chats. I am Zeneca. Let's talk NFTs. Hello and welcome to another episode of Zen Chats. Today I'm thrilled to be here with Pants from the Phantom Network Project, Project Pixen. It is a wonderfully mysterious project is how I want to describe it, because I did a little research and I chatted with Pants yesterday or the day before, time is weird, and I got to hear more about it and it sounds fantastic, but just poking around the website, it's like it's not immediately apparent what the project is about. It requires some digging into, so hopefully we can get into that today. But first of all, welcome. How are you today?
I'm good, thanks. Hey, thank you so much for having me on. Yeah, going great. All my days are blurring together, but it's just wake up, grind, sleep.
that's how it is. It, like NFT time is so weird, and we live in this whole other world, I think, compared to the real world. Yeah, but I'd love to know a bit about Project Pixen. Actually, before that, I'd love to know a bit about you and your background. Like, how did you get into NFTs and Web3? What were you doing before? What's your origin story, as I like to say?
Origin story. I don't think it's cool enough to be an origin story. But like my professional background is in finance and law. And so prior to all of this, my Web2 job was I was a finance manager at just a corporate. And I got into NFTs, I think the same way as most people, almost by chance. You know, you hear someone talk about it, or like a close friend drags you into this world. And that's how I came about it. And that friend for me was Ray. So we, you know, dabbled. Ray had been in the NFT world for much longer than the rest of us. But when the idea for Project NanoPass was conceived, or at least solidified, and that he wanted to actually make it a reality, he pulled myself and the other NanoPass devs in around August last year, 2021. And that's the start of my journey. Before that, I'm not going to count, because all I did was like try to buy some NFTs, lost money immediately. But yeah, for sure, that's what really started for me.
That's a great way to like start things off. Kicking off NanoPass is an awesome, just a really cool project. There's a lot to it and the community is amazing. Let's talk about NanoPass a little bit, and like how did you get, I guess, from NanoPass to Phantom Network and Pixen?
Yeah, so NanoPass, like that was something that Ray had wanted to do for a really long time. And as the project sort of progressed, he built more and more into it. NanoPass started out as like a 3D land picture, which represents the land that you will get in the nanoverse in the future. And right now, we're rolling out phase two of NanoPass, and we're rebranding it to the Nanoverse HQ. Phase two is a 3D like person profile picture, 3D profile picture. And it's this AI agent who will be your desktop assistant and companion. So that's the underlying utility to that one. And the NanoPass, again, is important because that's your pass to minting this agent. And it's a free mint, so a huge value there. Yeah. And in phase three, in the future, your land and your agent will come together in the metaverse to create this whole new Web3 immersive experience.
That's so wild. It's incredible. Like, when I first heard about NanoPass last year, I was like, the art looks amazing. It's these 3D blocks of land and like animated with a really cool, like futuristic cyberpunk style, I guess is how I would, and really vivid colors. But I didn't realize the extent to which you're building out this whole like true universe with so much, I guess, depth to it. I think it's awesome. And then, so that was like August you launched, right? August, June, July, August, September, October. August is when you had the idea or you came on board. And then when did NanoPass launch? And then when did Project Pixen, sort of the idea for that, begin?
So NanoPass launched in October you know, we did a bit of prep. We kicked around some like initial ideas and we launched it in October, minted out in December of 2021. And in the following month, January, we launched Project Pexin. So Pexin is another brainchild of Ray's. He's project lead on both. And it made sense to launch it as a separate project and not sort of like wait or try to roll it up into the Nanoverse, because its utility is so very different. Nanoverse is a metaverse play, while Project Pexin is a platform play. So it focuses more heavily on community, on Web3 tools. So it's standalone, and the time was right. You know, you don't wait around with an idea in the NFT world. You don't sit around and say, oh, maybe I'll launch in Q3 of 2022. Who knows where we'll be by then?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's absolutely right. You strike while the iron's hot, as they say. When you say Project Pexin is a network, what do you mean by that exactly? Because I'm on the website now for those who are just listening and can't watch the stream, and it's this really cool website, but it's not your standard website where it's like there's no easy to find roadmap or about pages. There's a lot of interesting files that you can click on. It's like this old school code style website, which I really, really like. But yeah, I mean, again, what does it mean that Phantom Pexin is a network?
So we haven't released its core utility yet, but we've hinted at it a lot. And the network element comes from the way we structured it. So Phantom Network begins with this narrative of our holders of the 10,000 collection being a rebel army in Web3. We're the Web3 resistance fighting the ways of the old. We're the underbelly of the Web3 rising up against centralization and like ownership of IP and using like us, the people, the users, as the product that corporations sell, all of that kind of stuff. And the way we've built around this lore, this narrative, is we structured it in a military-esque fashion. So the 10,000 rebel fighters are structured in a military way, and they're led by 100 phantom operatives. So the 10K collection, we call them ghosts. And then these phantom operatives are like leaders that come from a 100 collection sitting outside of the main collection. And you will have seen some of the NFTs on our Twitter page, those dark, moody, animated ones. They're all one of ones built to each of the phantom specs because they're real people, they're real leaders in our community. And the idea is within the Phantom Network on our platform, the 10,000 ghosts will be divided into groups of 100. And each of the 100 phantoms will care for 100 ghosts and lead them in their regiment. So this builds the network, these little circles that form tight-knit groups that know each other well, that are interlaced with the other circles and map out this big network. And in the future, there's, because it's a platform player, we have to have users, right? In the future, there's big plans to scale. And so these networks will expand and grow, and these circles will multiply.
I mean, I just, and I said this to you a couple of days ago when I was first hearing about it. I think this is just brilliant, honestly. It's like, and I'm surprised we haven't seen it before. Rather than just a 10K project, it is a 10K project, but you have 100 groups of 100 people, and that's so much more manageable. It's 10K is great, but you can't have a community of thousands of people and feel that real close, tight-knit connection the same way that you can with a community of 100. I think it's fascinating. I'm really excited to see how it plays out. I just want to say, you have the Phantom Network Project Pexin account has 334,000 Twitter followers. I feel like a couple of days ago I checked, it was like 30,000 less. It's exploding. It's going crazy. What has that journey been like? Like, how quickly did the account blow up and sort of get discovered and people find out about it? And also just how did you do that? Because there's so many people in projects who always ask me, like, you know, how do these projects come up and then just have like 100,000 plus Twitter followers? And there's various answers, but I'd love to know how you did it and what the like story was for Project Pixen.
There's a lot of stuff that goes into it. There isn't like one secret weapon that we've used. We go through the normal routes of doing giveaways and things like that. Obviously, like followers from every NFT Twitter account comes from giveaways. But the reason that the giveaways have blown up, like you do one these days and it gets like 30K likes and retweets. The reason that these have blown up is, I guess, attributable to everything else that we've been doing. People are paying attention, I guess, because firstly, the way we entered the market, like we have a very strong sense of identity. Like it's mysterious, but that's still like a brand in itself, right? You don't have to understand everything about it, but when you see it, you know it's us. So our initial Twitter launch was very mysterious. It was very like code breaker, like, you know, similar to what you're seeing in that website. It's like this hacker feel. So it gets people interested. And then we also have the benefit of starting already with this very tight-knit community. So the Phantom Operatives, they're our brand ambassadors in many ways. And the intention is that there's going to be 100, but right now we're sitting at 27. So 27 people have filled those roles already. And they're people, most of them come from the community. And the original, like the OG Phantoms, they came from the Nano community. They're a very tight-knit group of friends that we've built along the way. And so they were the ones who could help us spread the word. They were the ones who could give us this visibility. And that's like a big reason why community is everything, because we built this whole project around them, around this concept.
Yeah, I mean, I love that. And I think it goes to show that this is not something that just popped up overnight. Like if you go back to the core coming from the Nano community, that's, you know, 8 months ago, 6 months ago, you know, that's when that project began and started gathering momentum. And it takes time to build huge Twitter followings, and it takes a good product and a good team and a little bit of mystique. And it's clear that you have all those elements. Plus, the art is just incredible. Like, I know art is subjective, and I always say that, you know, you shouldn't evaluate projects exclusively on the art. You should look at the team and other things. But for me personally, I find that this art just basically as good as any other project, maybe better than almost any other project. It's phenomenal. It's really, really, really cool. It's got this like Cyber Brokers meets Azuki style, and I love both of those projects. So yeah, just really cool.
Yeah.
Who's the artist? Who's creating this art?
So the concept comes from Ray. He's the art director, and he's the art director on both Nano and Pixen. And so the amount of finesse, the amount of detail that you'll see in both projects, like it makes sense because it comes from him, and he's kind of like a demon with it. He's not an easy person to work with if you're an artist. He will look at everything. But it's like obviously with the best intentions in mind, right? Mm-hmm. There isn't a sole artist. We have a huge team of artists. We have in-house artists. We've got studios on board. We've got artists that have worked on like very prominent projects in the past, like Web2 projects. But, you know, their personal information isn't for me to share. It's the entire creative process is very complex. There's a team for concepting, for research to bring Ray's vision to life, and then there's a team for like finalizing, like getting that painted feel, getting that level of detail in there. And then there's a team for like clothing design, there's a team for decals that go on the clothing. It's a lot, and that's how we do it, just by throwing that much manpower and investment into it.
Yeah, I mean, that makes total sense. And I think having that art director in Ray really coming from the top down, it just shows that there's this, you know, quality control, central vision idea that is just executed flawlessly. Amazing. So all right, what can you share about the the plans, the roadmap, the vision, like let's say the next 6 to 12 months for Project Pixen. What can you share about what's being developed and built?
Okay, so at a high level, we've got our mint of 10,000 ghosts coming up end of this month. And on Mint, we will release the alpha version of our platform. So the utility is there on Mint. It's by no means complete, but it's our every intention to bring the community along on this journey of building, of finding bugs, of like breaking the platform so that we can rebuild it in the right way. Once we have the platform out and have had the chance to test it, all of us, all of the holders, we will be onboarding other projects. We have a handful of other projects to be our first like partner project / demo testers to build out that user base and to round that out so that we can further stress test this platform. After that, we'll be adding more utility, continuing to refine it, adding more token sinks. So the tokens will be launching on Mint as well. And that sort of rounds out phase one. Phase two is a bigger focus on adding more utility that we've planned and further growing the user base. Phase three and beyond is mass market adoption. Like I said, this is a platform play. We need users, and it's our plan to roll this out to beyond just the NFT space, to really eliminate all of the friction between having to mint something to be able to get into a token gated platform. This is a platform built around or like built to include Web3 tools and solutions for the average user, creator, business person, whatever, to thrive in Web3. Now, we've not revealed a lot of these features yet, but one of the ones that we have is the gray market, which is a crypto-based buying and selling platform. So this is just one example of a tool that we can give someone to use in Web3. A lot of us make good Web3 coin trading and flipping NFTs, and there's nowhere to spend it. There's no outlet for it unless you're buying more NFTs, right? So this is something that we feel will be really useful to the average user in our world. And a lot of the other features will sort of mirror this intention. They won't look exactly the same. They'll be vastly different. There'll be a tool for all sorts of different needs, but they all have the same goal to like enrich your Web3 experience. Another heavy feature that I can, I guess, speak to, we haven't fully revealed it yet, is that this platform is also aimed at changing your browsing experience. So the Web2 browsing experience is very fragmented. You go to some places like YouTube and you have the comment section turned on and you feel connected to other people, and that's a certain experience on that platform itself. Other platforms like news outlets, it's very like siloed. It's a completely lonesome experience when you're reading something and being like, is this fake news? Is this real news kind of thing? So the Web3 experience that we envision is connected. And it's something that you do with all of your friends that you've made in the space.
Wow. Like, just wow. Honestly, that is a lot in a really good way. It sounds like I was trying to conceptualize what is this, the platform that you're building. You mentioned it a few times and I was like, is the platform a marketplace? Is it a social media platform, a chat? It sounds like it's all of the above and more. Like, it sounds like you're trying to tackle a ton of things, which is amazing. Like, I can definitely see a need for all of these things. The gray market. So is that sort of, let's say, if I wanted to go buy an iPad, I could use crypto to buy it via your gray market type of thing?
Yeah. So it's like eBay or Facebook Marketplace or Craigslist, but it's based. And yeah, in many ways, that offers more security than those platforms because your transaction takes place on the blockchain. You know, there's an escrow system that we will release further down the line in phase one. That means that your money doesn't get sent to the seller unless you actually receive and verify your goods. It's also more secure because your account is tied to this activity, right? Your NFT, which may be quite valuable, is tied to the activities that you conduct in this gray market. And if you screw that up, if you act in dishonest ways, then you're putting that account, that NFT, at risk.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody cares about their account on eBay. Like, unless you have 1,000 great reviews already, you can just scam someone, burn that account, and make a new one.
Yeah, no, that makes total sense. Crap, I just had a question and it fell out of my head. So with all of this, I'm just sort of in my head assuming this is all going to be done on ETH mainnet, but I probably shouldn't assume that and ask, is that the plan, or do you have plans for a different blockchain, different layer? Are you going to build your own blockchain? Like, it sounds, yeah, where is this all taking place?
It's taking place on our own server. So we will have our own token, and most of the activities and transactions are conducted off chain. And I guess that because of the way that's structured, if you sort of like squint, it looks like an L2 solution, but like, it's not our intention to be like the next L2 solution. We just don't want everything to attract gas fees. It's just inefficient to have everything on chain. And putting things on chain is more, I don't know, at times it's gimmicky rather than actually useful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm hearing more, like I speak to a lot of projects and I hear more about these off-chain solutions that are sort of like these, it's like L1.5. It's like, it's not a layer two, but you can do a lot of stuff off-chain and the end result is it's fine. Like, no one's losing out in terms of security. It's still, maybe there's a touch more centralization, but I think people don't realize that we're already existing in, like, even L1s and L2s, there's still a lot of centralization and trust involved in a lot of the things that are going on. So it's fine to, I think it's fine to do stuff off chain and then like verify the final state on chain. It sounds sensible to me.
Yeah, same. Cause I'm not great with technology. You know, I do operations, marketing, and legal in this project. They don't let me near anywhere, any of the tech. But I see myself as thinking very much like the average end consumer. Like, some people buy into an NFT project because of the tech, because like, L2 rollups, all these cool things. But for me, I just care about the user experience. I care about the end product. And I think that's what we're building to.
And I think that's what most people, especially like as we look towards mass adoption and getting the next billion people onboarded to NFTs and Web3, we really have to make it simple. And like, we're seeing already now how difficult it is for people to get onboarded and to transact and to be safe and secure. And, you know, the people that are here now are like already in the 0.01% of people who are like interested and a little more tech minded and savvy and like first movers and all that kind of stuff, let alone your average consumer and user who is just not going to understand or want to understand or take the time to learn this whole new technology. So I think as much as we can abstract that away, make it easier, reduce, eliminate gas costs as much as we can, it's just necessary, honestly.
Yeah, totally agree.
What is the, I think you mentioned that Mint was end of this month. Do you have a date set in mind already? And what are the details around the Mint in terms of pricing? Has that been decided? And like, is it a mint list? Is it a public sale? How is that all happening?
So we haven't set any of those details yet. It's a turbulent market and we're keeping a close watch. I think like every other week we get together and we feel like we've come to a decision on some things and then something else changes in the market.
Yeah.
Right. Or something else changes internally. So we're pretty clear on the goal for delivering in April, like end of April. Date to be announced. Mint format, we have a public sale and we've got whitelisting as well, but the price is to be determined.
Okay. Nice. Yeah, I think that is smart. Like, I advise projects, and a lot of projects are more and more saying, you know, we will decide closer to the date, the exact price and the exact structure, because like you said, the market is turbulent. ETH price is turbulent. You know, sentiment is turbulent. There's so many factors that go into deciding on the very specifics. They're trying to keep that flexibility to adjust as late as you can makes total sense to me. yeah, honestly, I'm really, really, really excited. I don't think I've been this excited. Like, there's two projects now this month that I'm really excited about. One is Moonbirds and one is Pixen. And I'm actually going to be on vacation when it's minting, so I'll probably have to go secondary when I'm back. But yeah, this is awesome. Like, it's different, I think, is the thing that really appeals to me, where it's clear that you're trying to do something innovative and push the needle and do it in an exciting way. Yeah, I'm really excited to see how things continue to develop. I'd love to know a little more about the lore, the storytelling, the world building that's gone into this, because I think you mentioned earlier that there was a lot of like work put into thinking that through and creating this whole world. What's the process like there? Do you have creative writers? Do you have people specifically working on the lore, or is it just this collaborative thing? Is it coming from Ray again? How's that all working?
We've got teams structured for it. So we've got Ray, who, because it's his brainchild, because it's his baby, he had the initial idea. So he built this narrative of the Web 3 rebel army fighting against Web 2. And then the lore was developed by our head writer, Strolling Pastel. So he is the person who's putting out the bits of content, the write-ups in our Discord and at times on Twitter. Sometimes we put out like an image and there's like in the thread, there's the story behind it. And it's very expansive. We've just given tasters so far and we've shown off some of the personalities. But there's a whole Wikia being built, you know, akin to like the, I think it's, which game was it? League, I think, that has a full Wikia on like all of their different like character types and how they tie together and the different factions and allegiances and things like that. And so we have that coming out and I'm very excited for it because it explains like the place where all these people reside, the ghosts reside, the place where the like unrest and the army was born. And we've got some of the characters have debuted already. We've got our antagonist, Mr. Web 2. He's got his own Twitter page. He creates a bit of havoc. He's hacked our Discord. He's hacked our Twitter. And he's got some fans now at this point as well. More recently, we've released Umemiko, who is one of our protagonists. She's the Fox Witch. Her lore is yet to be revealed. And we've also been showcasing or telling our story in a visual way by putting out a manga. So we've got the first few pages of the manga out, and you can see the story starting to develop there.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that. So I got to ask, how many people are working on this? Because you have a team for this, team for that. It's amazing. But is this not some four-person project? How large is the team?
So the core founding team is four of us. And then like our core staff team is about like 10. So these are the people that are like leading other smaller teams, you know, the likes of Strolling Pastel leading the writing team or leading the manga team. And then under that, we've got all our obviously like community managers and stuff. We've got all our devs that work under the CTO. We've got many, many artists and studios working under Ray. Probably because the studio numbers shift a lot, we don't always have the right headcount, but I'd say it's closing in on like 70 people now.
Wow. That's huge. That's more than almost any project that I speak to or know of. It's exciting. It's clear that you're building something huge and you need a large team to do that, which you have. And yeah, it's going to be an exciting several months and years, honestly, for Pixen.
Years, hopefully, yeah.
I'm sure it will be.
We're pouring in all this investment and time now so that we can like really carve a space in ourselves in the market because it's everyone's scared of the corporate takeovers. Like nobody knows what it next. Like we intend to be here for the long run.
Amazing. Is there anything that we haven't touched on that you wanted to bring up or mention? I'm sure there's a lot more to the project that we haven't covered, but anything specific that comes to mind?
There is a lot. And I think like it may sound a bit hectic, and we've had questions of like, why are you building so much into the single platform? Like, do you even know what you're doing kind of thing? And it's like, yes, don't be scared by the fact that there are lots of bits of utility that we're putting in here. If you look at a metaverse play, like the fact that it's a metaverse doesn't mean that it can't also be skewed towards e-commerce or music and concert halls and games and even just a hangout spot for you and your friends. It makes sense to have lots of different activities that you can conduct in a single platform or solution. And it makes sense when you have tokens for there to be lots of token sinks. So what we're building is comprehensive and complex, but we're not just throwing all we can at it. There's an end goal that we're striving for, and we know where we're going.
There's a method to the madness.
Yeah, there's a method to the madness. And it is hard to explain. There is a lot in there, which is why we're actually dropping the alpha platform to NanoFam to test in the coming days. That marketing tactic I'm pretty excited about, because rather than us sitting here and trying to explain all of it, why not just show everyone and just let users speak about it themselves, have them share it on Twitter and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of projects launch and then they say we're going to build something, and 6 months later they deliver. But you're showing a product first, which I think is really cool. And I'm starting to see more projects do this, which I think is a sign that the market is maturing as well, in a really good way. I want to ask, I guess, one last question. You mentioned token sinks a few times. Can you just go into a little more specific? Like, what do you mean by token sinks exactly?
Well, we're launching a token, and your NFT will be generating tokens. There's got to be utility for it, right? There's got to be a place for these tokens to go. And so the point of launching a token isn't just to have a token.
Yeah.
The point of launching a token is to make the system work. And so we have every utility and feature that we built into this. There is a place for the tokens, or it's the tokens that allow you to use these features. For example, the gray market, it costs a certain amount of tokens to list something, or you could have an extended listing, premium listing, all of that kind of cool stuff. You can also transact in our native token, PXN tokens, as well. So the gray market will at first support ETH and PXN transactions. And so it's this idea that everything we do, every utility that we build has a token transaction behind it.
I love it. It's I mean, I'm a huge fan of tokens. I think ERC20 tokens in conjunction with NFTs, they unlock a lot of cool potential, but very few projects do it right. It's most projects, it's like Ponzi-nomics, where it's like you get a token and then you can use that token to buy more NFTs in the same collection, and then you can stake those NFTs to get more tokens to buy more NFTs. And it's just like there's no actual value being created, no actual utility being utilized, which clearly it seems like that's not the case here. So that's awesome to hear.
Well, that works if other people also want those NFTs, right? And like,
right, some, if there's demand,
a lot of success. But we can't expect to just keep pulling in the same crowd from the same space. Like, the empty space is expanding, but not fast enough. We're reaching out to crypto people, or even just like regular people. Like, we need to create services that our NFT holders can generate tokens for that will be demanded by these other people outside our space. That's when the tokenomics really kick in. That's when like you create true demand for your tokens.
Yeah, that's the key, I think, because it is so difficult to create a sustainable tokenomics ecosystem. It's really, really, really tough, because you need to have demand for it. Like you said, you need to have a way for, if people have NFTs and they're generating tokens, well, that means the token supply is going up, and then you need to find a way for people to spend the tokens and for people outside the ecosystem to want to come in. And yeah, I think I don't think there's a play-to-earn gaming project that has really done it well yet. But there are non-gaming projects that have figured it out. And I think, but yeah, it's really tricky, but it sounds like you're definitely approaching it the smart way, which I think is, it's just exciting. I really look forward to it. Any final thoughts? Otherwise, I think we'll probably start to wrap this up.
No, I think I've spoken so much.
it's been amazing.
Yeah, well, I'm just excited for the platform to come out, for the demo to come out. And I'll be catching up with your team to talk about the aftermath of that demo launch. So that'll be really cool. That'll be a completely different conversation, and I look forward to it.
Yeah, I think we're doing a Twitter Spaces or AMAs, something like that, right?
Yeah, that'll be awesome.
Where can people go to find out more? Obviously, we'll put links to everything in the description. Your Twitter. Is your Discord open? Can anyone join the Discord?
The Discord is closed, but we don't put out any special information. We're aware that our fan base is on Twitter, and that's where we put out everything. Yeah.
Okay. Twitter and the website as well. For honestly, it's a fun website. It's different. It's mysterious, and I think that makes it really, really cool.
It's an experience, but we're going to pivot to a full-on website when all the information is out, so that it actually makes sense to people.
That makes sense.
Play for sure.
Yeah, amazing. Well, thank you so much. This has been really, really wonderful, and I'm gonna have to get you back on, and maybe Ray in the future when more of this platform is built out, because it sounds fascinating.
Yeah. Maybe after your vacation, and we'll
hear
how your R&R went.
Yeah, for sure. It's much needed, but it's also low-key terrifying, because it's like, I can take a vacation, but the NFT space will not. So I'll come back in 2.5 weeks and it's going to be a whole new world. But yeah.
Well, I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you so much. All right. Have a wonderful day.
All right. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for listening to Zen Chats with Zenica. Please consider subscribing to the podcast so that you are notified of future episodes. Also, make sure to check out our YouTube channel for the video version of this episode. For even more podcasting fun, check out the other podcast I co-host, Two Bored Apes. If you enjoy my content, please consider joining us at Zen Academy, a place where anyone, anywhere, at any level can learn about NFTs and Web3. All of the links are in the description below. I'll catch you next time.